Let's take our Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. As you look in your Bible, you're going to notice that your Bible's put together for a reason, the way it is. There's nothing there by accident. It's all in the right place. And 1 Corinthians, you know, is a rebuke towards this very church. 1 Corinthians is. 2 Corinthians, he picks up with more of a rebuke and then goes to saying things like this missions thing. I've asked every preacher I know, and I've had the same answer from everyone. When you are out on the road, be you a missionary on deputation, being you preaching somewhere, whatever, the bigger the crowd gets, the worse the offering is and the fellowship. Now, here's two things. Number one, I never go for an offering. I always have the money to get back home just in case it gets rough. And that will happen. One of my men went out to go on deputation. I've never forgot this. He called me and said, something strange happened tonight. I said, what? He said, I knew I was in trouble when I got in the church, and they were all kind of silent. Just like this. Nobody said anything. The pastor got up and said, we got a missionary tonight. Come on. Never played the first hymn, nothing. And he said, while I was preaching, he said, my heart was breaking the whole time. He said, when I got through preaching, the church split. I said, what in the world did you preach on? And can I use it this weekend? And he said, it was nothing. That was already in the works before I got there. And I thought, brother, that's sad. He said, I know I've never had that. He said, I've never been in one of them, never had that happen before. But I got to think about it. When you said, at least I prayed, I thought, Lord, have mercy. Is this going to be that crowd again? See, they're doing it again. You can laugh and clap and cry and weep and everything, but do something.
Yeah, yeah.
The late Dr. Jimmy Robbins come up to a man, was at Christian Supply, and this man is with me, he's talking about it, he's depressed. I said, go talk to him, he'll help you. He helped him. He wasn't depressed after he got done with him, I'll tell you that. You walked up, Jimmy Robbins, brother, pray for me, I'm depressed. He grabbed him by both lapels, pulled him right up nose to nose. You need to learn how to worship, brother, get your mind off you. And I'm dying laughing across. I heard him all the way across the store because I went and hid. I knew what was going to happen. Thank you, brother. Thanks so much. And this, you know, you run into stuff like that, but get those emails out there. Write them guys and, like he said, give them that prayer request. I'd rather have missionaries out there praying for me than to not know my name at all.
Yeah, that's right.
They may not remember it past the prayer request, but at least get that one through.
Yeah.
It'll be a big help to you. Remember that thing Jesus said, mountain be thou removed? He wasn't talking about Everest.
That's right. Yeah.
Because there's two things he may do. He may bring up the place where you at and the mountain's gone, or he may just move the mountain altogether. You know, I've been through depression two or three times. It'll happen. And that bunch that says that, that don't happen, I got something I'd like to tell you. I hope it don't happen to you.
Yeah. That's right.
It's kind of like a guy gets weary in the ministry and he says these famous words here. I think I'm being burnout. I'm in burnout stage. Do you know what? There's no burnout stage. There's a burn up stage, but not a burnout. Ask the Lord for strength. He'll give you strength to go through it. The craziest thing is you getting yourself in situations where God's working and you say, Lord, I'll do anything. He'll bring that up to you later.
Yeah.
A lady died here a while back. It's a preacher's wife. When they left the church they were at and started going to Lewis Baxter's church up in Gaffney, we met them, talked with them, and when Lewis left, they came down to our church for some reason. It wasn't bad, you know. I take them in if it's not bad, you know. Having no pastor, why did they kill him? What happened? You know, that's bad. But they come to church, and one day I was up a day and a half without any sleep because of something's going on with our church. Nothing bad, people sick and things. I finally get home, day and a half later, I go to lay down, the phone rings. It's her husband. Can you come talk to my wife? I said, what about? He said, she thinks she's lost. Why can't you talk to her? He said, because she won't talk to me. She said, she's only talk to you. I was like, not now. I said, put her on the phone. He says, you want she to come down here? And I got up out of bed, you know, like a champ. I just laid down the phone ring. Put all my clothes back on, got in the car, and I don't even remember if I took a Bible with me or not. I just knew if she's lost, she's going to hear the Romans Road, and that's all I got. That's all that's left. I didn't get halfway through it. She got saved. And I wanted to tell her, that's not how this works. You got to hear the whole pitch, and then you got to... That's what all the books say. And when all that went on, I was awake enough at the end of the thing to be glad. Thank God she wanted to get saved and that she got saved. Now, isn't that something? Can you go like that for the Lord? Sure you can. You went like that for the devil all them years.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know why I'm getting on this, brother. I just want to go ahead and kill the thing while we got it tracked down good. You can do what God wants you to do, but you can't do it in your own strength. It's got to be in His. Amen. Now, here's the thing. In this chapter you're looking at before you, it's one of the highest grade level chapters in your entire Bible. 11.4 grade level. Say, well, the King James Bible ain't but a fifth grade. Yeah, but there has to be something high and something low to make it be a fifth grade on average, right? Math people, help me out. This one in high spots. I had never dreamed that, you know, all these years later looking at this, we would be talking about this tonight, but I want you to look at this. We're going to start down at verse number 8 tonight. He says this, and God is able, I heard somebody say that earlier today, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food and multiply, he says, your seed and increase in the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched by everything to all bountifulness which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of his service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution. Liberal means giving. Liberals in America have changed that definition to mean crooks that are in politics and in science classrooms all over the country. But it means giving. It's funny how that's the most annoying criminal taking crowd, but they're called liberals. Crazy, ain't it? He says here, he said by their liberal distribution there and so forth, you get down verse 14, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. As we look tonight, I want to talk to you about the excitement of Faith Promise Missions. And I promised you this morning we was going to look at three things that people think God's in. Number one, they think that growing a church means God's in it. I was here back in July, August, when was it last time? June, okay. Bless your heart, your church ain't grown none since then, has it, hon? Crazy, right? But what have you put out the door for missions? See, that's where the difference is. You can't have everybody in PAC live in here. You just ain't got the room. What, no amens to that? Well, go get them then. Go get them, Tiger. You can do it. If Clemson can pack 93,000 there, surely y'all can get all the PAC in here. That's what we're led to believe. Growing means God in it. But if it's not growing... And we all proved that this morning by the next big thing, Baptist Church. It was lying in the middle of the road. You know, I don't know if you got this down here, but where I'm at, every so often that the next big thing's in the church. And they'll go up and they'll go up to the north side of the county, and a church that's this size will, I mean, they'll have members from north side, south side, east side, and west side. It's wore out carpets all over town and come there, and that church will quadruple in size. Then the next big thing gets caught with a piano player, true story, or one of the deacons, modern story, and the next big thing's gone. then a church downtown somewhere, or they'll get the next big thing. And he'll come in, and he's cute as a button, and all the women adore him, and the men want to be like him. They'll come from north side, south side, east side, west side, and the other church they just left, and he's the next big thing. Then money calls, and he's gone. Yep. Now listen to this. I'm going to talk to you about something about money before we talk about your money. The most depressed man in America, as of 10 years ago when I read this article, was TV mogul Ted Turner. Uncle Ted is depressed. He's down to his last $1 billion. Now, could you imagine how it would feel to be to your last $1 billion you have? I don't even think they make a bill that goes up that high. And I got to thinking, I already know how it feels. I'm on my last billion as well. And somebody told me if I live long enough, I'll be a millionaire, because that'll be minimum wage if I live long enough. I don't know if I want to live that long, but nonetheless, I thought about poor Uncle Ted. He owned an island somewhere where only he could fly to it, and had his little mansion built out there and little boats and little sailboats and things like that. He's had to sell one of his islands. They're private islands. Nobody lives on them but him. Could you imagine selling one of your islands and your last $1 billion? Could you imagine selling your TV station to Warner Brothers, and now it's called Time Warner, and they keep you on as CEO for a year per the contract, and then fire you on day 366. And you can't ever go back in that building. They throw you completely out. Depressing stuff, ain't it? An empire you built, you can no longer walk on the street beside. Depressing stuff. You say, preacher, that don't depress us, because, well, you sound depressed. When I mentioned $1 billion, you look as sad as I do about it. People think when you got big money and you gather up money like that, that God's in it. And I got news for you. If it sets here, God will come get it. God will come get that money. So how will he come? Oh, I don't know. Y'all got trees around here that could fall anywhere.
Yep, that's right.
I would be willing to guess that you have high-speed internet here, right? It would take one smart, criminally-minded person to wipe out this church.
Yep.
Like that.
That's right.
And do damage that would take some of you tech guys months to figure out what happened, and they've never set a foot in the building.
That's right.
But we're gathering up money. You don't understand. What for? Church in the middle of town up there. Me and Lisa went up there. We had a baptism at their church one time. They stopped me after the service. They said, we want you to come here as pastor. I said, why? We've got $100,000+ in the bank. I said, you do? That's nice. What do you plan on doing with this $100,000+? We want to build a big church. Now, there's seven people there. They got $100,000, and they're wanting to build a big church. I'm thinking, you've got more than you can seat right now. We're wanting a man to come in here. We'll buy him a Cadillac. We'll give him a big old salary and all this other stuff. Not interested.
Yeah.
Not interested. You know what ended up happening to them people? They got what they wanted and lost what they had. Guess how much money they got tonight? They're on their last $1 billion too tonight, by the way. Except now they're on their last, like, $5,000. And it's not because they had a horrible economy or nothing like it. It's because they wouldn't do nothing with what they had. It's been burned up all to pieces. One thing after another one came. Do you know if the water main breaks on this side of it, you pay for it? If it breaks, it's on the city side. Guess what side there's broke on 3 times? Brand new and installed next week, it's gone. Now you depressed like Uncle Ted. Some of you know where I'm saying that. But the other big thing... is that, and this is similar to that one, but a totally different story, is that when you're putting big money in the bank, you are in the will of God. Church uptown had a secretary. She was writing out checks for their missions program, which is a denominational program, so it really wasn't a mission program. It's just a straw man type thing that they brag about. Said they'll feed the world if it shuts down for 6 months. And guess what? They don't. They really don't. They invest in Carnival Cruise Lines, which is affiliated with Budweiser. If their members knew that, they'd vote them out. They invest in different things like that. But they noticed one day that they were bragging and bragging, their pastor's bragging at their little denominational meeting, how they'd give over $150,000 to their mission program. While he's doing all that bragging, she's down at the Chevrolet place, Burns Chevrolet, it was an old place, buying a Corvette off the showroom floor. I know a man right now that buys Corvettes off the showroom floor and then orders two behind it. They're not cheap. In fact, I think they probably run somewhere in the neighborhood of $70,000 to $100,000. Now, the reason I don't know, I've never looked at one. I just go by what he tells me, and I believe he's telling me right. Now, could you imagine somebody who's on a minimum wage, works 4 hours a day, walking into the Chevrolet place, and Mr. Burns saying, "Can I help you? I want to buy that Corvette." "Well, I don't know if we can get you financed." "Oh, we don't need financing." Counts the cash off to him. "Tell me when to stop." That was that missions money, because she'd tear up the checks that wrote by computer and write a new one in its place for somebody named Cash. You know the banks all have cameras now, right? For 2 years, she walked into that bank and cashed checks for that every week. Big money in the bank. They're getting ready to build a family strife center, or life center, excuse me. And they go to get the money out of the bank, and it's gone. Every dime. And they've been noticing for the last month she's been pulling up to work in a Corvette. They thought she had a new boyfriend or something. They call Sam Burns. "Did you sell this car?" "Sure did. Nice lady come in and paid cash for it." "How much cash?" $70,000. They look at their bank register and says, $70,000. They called their denominational office and said this: "How much have we given to the missions program this year?" They said, "Not a dime." If you hear a rumor your mother loves you, you better check the references nowadays. Because that woman ripped them off like that. She's in jail, by the way. They figured it out. It doesn't pay to brag on anything that God is not in and him doing himself. We're not taking up faith promise to have, say, "We got $250,000 in the bank." You in trouble if you got $250,000 in the bank and you a Baptist church. Right. God wants to make it go out the door, not pile up in here. Before long, you'll be like Uncle Ted, "We're down to our last $250,000. We're down to this. Oh, what are we going to do?" They'll cut the lights off. "Well, y'all got plenty of them. If they cut a couple of them off, it'll be fine." You know what the biggest joke is on America right now? I'll tell you what it is. They want you to have church outdoors, but you can go to a liberal rally and be indoors. Yep. Right. Man called me a while ago, said, "I'm going to preach for this guy next week." I said, "Okay." And before I got off the phone, he said, "You know what the strangest thing is?" He said, "He wants me to preach outside. Hope it don't rain." Yeah. "Oh, let me check my watch. It's going to be cold next week." Yeah. Guess who the joke's on? I hope they're kidding with him about that. Wouldn't you hate to have the outdoor service right now? Hey, listen, the lights are not as good out there. I noticed that. But that cold, boy, that'll start whipping through them polyester clothes real quick, won't it? Yep. Hope y'all know what underoos are, because you're going to need them. Yep. Listen, don't let these things that people say is God fool you. God confined himself to a book. He wants you to understand he's with you. He's contracted himself with you, so if something's out of bounds, you'll know it. Amen? Look at this, down at verse number 9. This is the truth of missions. He says this: "As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath," it says, "given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever." That's Psalm 112, verse 9. He says, "Now he that ministereth both seed to the sower, both ministereth bread for your food, and circle this word, multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness." And he puts a winky face right there at the end of it. You see that? If he was texting, that thing would be a wink. It's a semicolon and a smile, right? All the young people get this. You old people don't understand. Y'all not hip like us. But it says right there, it shows you God's ability. Multiply. Peter said to the Lord, how much do I forgive this guy for? 7 times? And the Lord says, no, 70 times 7. How much? 490. So Peter, with being the great human being he was when the Lord found him, always wanted to fight, cut off people's ears, and cuss.
Sound like our church.
Yeah. So we can identify with the man, right? Here's the part you don't want to miss. When he goes to writing those epistles over there, he had finally got it. He said, grace and peace be multiplied to you. He was in the adding and subtracting business till God got a hold of him. Now he's in the multiplying business. And God wants to take your faith promise and multiply it. And in a big way, too. What did you say you started with faith promise for $5? How many people was here the first time you did it? Can we say 50 so it'd make it, or let's make it 10. I can work with 10. So you, let's make it 10 though, because I'm not working with a calculator. So your pastor forged through the snow, both ways uphill, with $5 offering every week to give towards missions. And the 10 people that followed him did the same. How much money is that? Or 9. We'll make it 9 where you're number 10. That's how much? 5 times 10 is? How much is 5 times 100? $500. So they went from nothing to $500 every month for missions. 0 to 500 out of nowhere. And still had the bills paid here, and now we can take on missionaries. You say, that's not nothing. Well, if you was here, it would have been. Anybody here when that happened? You were. Can I ask you how much you started with? 25. Listen to this. We got Cheapskate down here with $5. This good giver back here with 25. And if everybody else done 5 to 25, we got way over $500. That's starting it. Not what we did last month. Starting it. They've been doing this 28, 29 years. You know what that means? This church has been doing something for God that long. You know why everybody hates him? Because he's doing something for the Lord and they're telling people they are.
Yeah.
He hadn't had to tell them. They know it.
That's right.
You know why everybody hates your pastor? Because he is doing something for the Lord and they know it and they know they're not.
That's right.
In comes the hate letters. So what happens to them? Well, we call them and apologize and say, we're so deeply disheartened that you're offended at what we have done to you, whatever it is. No, that wasn't the letter. I'm sorry. We just throw them in the trash can and go on and keep doing something for Jesus. I cannot make you like me.
That's right.
I cannot make you love me. If you get out of here and run out the aisle and scream and say, I'm never coming back, I can't make you stay. But if you ever get plugged into the God of this Bible and let him work in your heart, you'll never get up and run away again. I used to quit everything. I was even good at it. But when I got saved, the Lord let me know the quitting days were over. God called me to preach. And before I could quit, he said the quitting days are over. And I started pastoring, and 2 weeks into it, I wanted to scream and quit.
Yeah.
I didn't get the, you know, that honeymoon period you get. I never had that. We went from voting me in to telling me I was fat on the way out the door. Can you believe my 25-year-old humble self had to be called fat on the way out the door after they voted me in and the person voted for me and left and never came back? This older preacher in town said, I'm going to give you peace advice. He said, if the devil runs out, don't go chasing him. Amen and amen. So, lady, the next time they call you fat, they're the devil. Just don't forget I told you that, okay? But I wasn't even as big as I am now is what's so bad. But you know God's got a sense of humor, right?
That's right.
I started off with $5 a week too. God has taken good care of this old boy and his family.
Yeah.
There's people tell me, well, y'all give what to the missionaries? And you work where? Told you that this morning. And when I tell them I don't have a job, they call around hunting where I'm working at. I tell them that if you want to know, we can do this real easy. Run my credit and you'll know everything about me. Go up to the sheriff's office, tell him you want my criminal record, he'll run it for you. I'm not ashamed of none of it.
Right.
You know why? I'd buy more bubble gum now and tell him to charge it.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
It might just be a loaf of bread, but it's more than bubble gum.
Amen.
If you call the sheriff and tell him I've done something, he'll laugh on the phone to you. You know why? We've been buddies since he was just a little old highway patrol skinny guy when he first started. Me and him, where my wife went to church at, we was religious now before we got saved. We went every Easter and Christmas. And one Easter, me and him sat in the balcony together, and he said, "Do you like this?" I said, "Gosh, no, I hate this place." He said, "Why are you sitting on the balcony?" I said, "So I can't listen to all that stuff going on down there." He said, "Me too." Well, we both get saved and come back around full circle. And listen to this. He had too many when we talked to in his office. He said, "I want you to ride with him." I thought, God, I hate riding in a police car. I thought I got out of that thing the last time for the last time. But I got to ride in the front this time. And it's uncanny where God will put people and put you. And if you're faithful along the way, you don't know what God may do with you, some of these people. I understand that God's ability, when he says multiply, he says here in Hebrews 7:25 that he will save to the uttermost. I told that story about that lady for a reason. She had never, to my knowledge, ever smoked a cigarette, drank beer, dipped snuff, any of that stuff, done drugs, anything. But when she got under conviction, she felt worse than people she knew that was in that shape. She said, "I don't understand our church. It's just a bunch of drunks, and I've never drank." She said, "But I feel like I'm going to hell in line ahead of them." That's conviction. When God makes you feel like you're the only one deserves hell, that's conviction. And that you have 5 minutes till it gets here, that's conviction. And you know what God will do with something like that? He'll save to the uttermost. Y'all, listen, y'all ain't got to tell me. I know I could about pick out the drunks in this crowd that used to drink. Why? I just got a knack for it, I guess. But I know this, you don't have to drink to be lost.
That's right.
And yet God will save you to the uttermost.
That's right.
You don't have to smoke cigarettes to go to hell, and God will save you to the uttermost. But I found out through years and years of theological training, there's only one direction to hell, and that's just denying Jesus Christ. And you can be in any shape you want to be like that and go that route, and you'll be in hell. I heard a guy preach a sermon one time, and he was preaching on hell. When he got done, I wanted to go. That's how sorry that was. He air-conditioned hell and took the fire out of hell and Greek and Hebrew out of hell and everything else. And I thought to myself, no wonder we're in such bad shape. We don't have a vision of what's going on and why God needs to save to the uttermost. There's a guy back in town, and I won't call his name for obvious reasons. I don't know if the statute of limitations ran on half the stuff he's done, and I'm being serious about that. I was in a place one night, and he come in there, and he challenged the whole place to fight. I was the first guy out the back door because I'd seen him do it before. I wasn't going to be part of it. He whooped 10 men and 5 cops when they started pulling in. They finally got him down. It took all 10 cops, the 5 that got the stuffings beat out of him and the other 5 that come to back up, they held him down and cuffed him. You that bad? Man shot that man one night. Took half his side out. Hansel knows who it is. Don't you, brother? He's back there watching, right? He's somewhere watching. No, he is. Listen. And while he's in hospital, sobered up, guy walks in and says, "You know, you need the Lord." He's saying, "I was praying somebody would come in and tell me something." He said, "I'm scared to death." 6'10", 350 pounds of solid muscle. Never lifted weights in his life. Worked on a farm. Did I mention he whooped 10 men at one time? Not one, then one. I mean, I want you all. Like I said, number 11 was gone. That was me. I'd been in a place like that before, and I knew when he showed up, it wasn't going to be good. The police would be there and the ambulance and all that. He ain't been in a fight since. Can you believe that? He didn't even want to fight no more. What happened? He got saved to the uttermost. Y'all ever sang that song? God's ability is multiplied in his ability to secure a sinner when they get saved. Do you believe that? The argument that people give about, well, I can lose my salvation if I want to. What if it's not yours to lose? His unspeakable gift. Get that? At the end of the chapter, that ain't yours, that's his. You ain't jumping out of nothing, is what I'm saying. You can run, but you won't run far. It's his salvation. You belong to him. He will come get you. or he'll take you to heaven to take the embarrassment away of your testimony. That's God. His ability is secure. I've given them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That belongs to God. Now, here's the thing. God's got the ability to do that. He's got the ability to save you. He's got the ability to secure you. Is that right? How many of you got a fence up at your house? Do you leave the gate open? When you go to bed at night, you flip the switch, tell the guard out front to watch and everything else, right? Right? Or you got one of them things that'll show up on your phone as cameras going this way and this way, and if somebody crosses the line anywhere, it automatically calls the police. Then it calls you, right? Something one, A1, or what is it? That secure one, whatever they are. Priority one, that's it. I knew they just called the house. I couldn't remember what it was. But you got all them people, and you got security that way. But what'd you do before you had that thing? Dear God, please don't let them come in tonight. Did God secure you? He secured more than your soul. He secured you. You ain't breathing without him, by the way. It's his air you breathing. When I got saved, I felt I was trespassing. I was on the wrong planet, under the wrong place, with the right God over it and me trespassing on his planet. I was breathing his air. I was under conviction about everything. I get saved, now I'm part of the family. It's part mine now. If you're saved, it's part yours. And it's not up to you to hire the security company. It's him that hires it. Was it Elisha that took that guy and said, open his eyes, Lord, let him see what's really around us? Boy, if God let us see that, we'd be scared to death, wouldn't we? 140,000 angels encamping this building, not letting the devil come in here and do anything to you. That's what's around here tonight. Said, you see them? Don't have to. I believe they're there, and I know God takes care of it. That, and I know if you mess up, there's more women with guns in this building than there are men. I'm going to duck. God has the ability to sustain you and multiply that sustain you to the point where he says this. Apostle Paul said, my God shall what? Supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Is that your God? So you're telling me he's multiplied all these things. You believe God can save. You believe he's secure. You can even believe he can subdue you. Listen to this. These people that say, well, that Bible's a lie. You know what they don't know? That our God said two places he identified himself as not being a liar. Just two. Two's a number for witness. John 14:2. If it were not so, I would have told you. He's not a liar. What was he talking about? Building mansions. Well, I'd just rather have a shack in heaven than be anywhere in hell. Ah, stow it, man. You got a mansion. Even the least of Christians has got a mansion. Isn't that good? Now don't be like most people. Aim low, aim high. Do all you can for Jesus while you can. While you're breathing, do something. But then you got over in Titus chapter 1, verse 2, that said, in hopes of God that cannot lie. That's him. Our God cannot lie. He can't lie. He's not even tempted with it. He can't lie. So you believe God's got all that, right? I believe that you believe that's right. I believe that. Do you believe that? Now, if that God can do all that, what else can he do? Would there be something that you've not looked at with, I don't know, maybe how you operate with God is hindering your own prayer life? When we started Faith Promise Missions, I told you I took the Bible, I had a dictionary and a concordance. This is pre-Bible app stuff, okay? Books. Strong's Concordance, large print. Dictionary, large print. So why'd you get large print? I can't see. Got to be able to see it. And I sat down with a text Bible that didn't have the first reference in it because I didn't want anything to, you know, skew my thinking one way or the other. I just want to see what God said. And I looked at these two chapters, and I came up with something I'd never even thought about in my life at that point. But if you look at verse 11, he says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving. Hey, we just had one of them, didn't we? But it says, to God. And it didn't say, thou shalt do it once a year. You can eat like a pig all year long and thank God for it every day if you'd like. I told you I wasn't the dietary guy, dietary advice guy. Don't listen to me on that. But do listen to this. Thanksgiving to who? Now, he says in verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. I don't know if you understand this quite the way I'm going to say it, but I'm going to put it as plain English as I can. Get you a prayer list if you haven't gotten one. Write your pastor's name, your missionaries, the folks here in church on it. Write down everything you can think of you need to pray for and pray every day. And if you already have said prayer list or you're going to get one together, write Thanksgiving across one of those pages, and a blank one, and start writing down the date every time God does something out of the ordinary just for you.
Yeah.
So you believe in that thing where you can get millions and have health, wealth, and prosperity? I don't even believe you can walk out the door without getting sick nowadays. But I do know this, those guys lie. God just said many thanksgivings. Oh, I got it. Every year we cook a turkey, we thank God. Not quite. How about every day you wake up or you go throughout your day, God does something unusual, something you can't do, and God does it for you. Write the date down and what it was. Now, if I'm alive next year this time and you have a conference and your pastor would ask me just to come be part of it one night, I want to see your list. Let me put it to you the way you guys are more like the wrestling fans that would have been Spartanburg more a lot of time years ago. Let me speak to you in a language you'll understand. Don't sing it, bring it. And then drop the mic. Prove the sincerity of your love. Write it down, say, God, and thank God every day, for what he did on that list. You're going to notice something. You are going to be to where you can't wait to get to that prayer list to write stuff down during the day so you can thank him for it in the morning. So, well, like what? I had a lady rear in my car right near Christmas back in 1997. I've never met such a vile individual in my life that got out of that car. Till the police showed up. When he showed up, he said, I want to hear both sides of the story. I'm waiting to turn left. 55 miles an hour hits me. My first thought was, thank God I didn't break my neck. I didn't have any injuries. Didn't even knock the taillight out of the back of the car. I don't know how that happened. If I tell you what kind of car it is, half of you, I'll split you, church, if I tell you what kind of car it was, because half of you say, Ford, yeah, yeah, or Chevy, y'all do that, and I ain't going to do that, Brother Pickle. But he said, okay, I hear you, ma'am. He wrote down that stuff. He said, what happened? And I hadn't even got my mouth open. She started screaming. And I just thought, okay. I tried again. She's screaming. He said, excuse me, sir. And he locked her up and arrested her and put in the back of his car. And you heard this whole time. And he looked at her and he went, he cut his eyes and she shut up. So what happened? She hit me from behind. Clear case. You know how much money we had for Christmas that year? None. We were barely making it. Multiply, multiply, multiply. I wrote down my paper there. I said, Lord, thank you for saving my life today. This idiot hit me. You probably saw her, you know. Then the cop went over to the car and looked at the man sitting in the seat. He said, are you that woman's husband? He went to praying. He looked at the kids in the back and said, hey, youngins, how y'all doing? Hey, Mr. Policeman, did y'all have your seatbelts on? Uh-uh. 25, 25, 25, and you? He goes, like, the, we wouldn't speak a word. Apparently Shaq was riding with her. Shaq up, you know. He took her to court and wore her out. And what he didn't wear out, the insurance company wore her out. I'm thinking, there's a scratch in my bumper, nothing's wrong with the car. They sent me $1,200. Now, I don't know what cost $1,200, but I got the guy to fix my bumper for less than five. He said, I don't know why you got this check. He said, but here's $1,195. So what'd I do? It bought Christmas that year. Amendment to 12-1. We got Christmas money too, thank you, Lord. I didn't do the estimate.
Yeah.
I would have said $10 tops. But I guess she made him mad enough, he just, psh. Does God do that? Sure he does.
Yes, sir.
Sure he does. Now, if you're praying for money and a finance company sends you a check, don't cash it. Tear it up. 39.99% interest. That ain't God. But write down what God does for you. Maybe God will save one of your kids this year. Maybe God will go out there and that one you've been praying for is out in the hog pen, maybe he'll go visit him. I got a guy showed up from Trinity. It was working in a hog pen in Gaffney. The irony of that. How'd he get there? The same way you're going to get there if you ain't careful. I know this. You start writing these things down, God starts taking care of them. And he says in verse 13, after going through the Thanksgiving of missions, he says in verse 13, whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. You've got professed subjection with a distribution attached to it. Not profession, it's proof. It's not what you have in your hand that will ever impress a holy God that owns everything, but it's what you do with what's in your hand that will impress God. Let me say that again. It's not what you hold in your hand that impresses God. God's not impressed by anything. But if you want to make an impression on God, open that hand up and say, Lord, put it where it needs to be. He'll find the way for it. Now, I've got to interject this. I took a nap at Hardee's a while ago. Well, all the bums do it around here. I figured I would too. Didn't hurt anything. Except I didn't ask nobody for money to buy a steak biscuit while I go down here to the liquor store. The manager at Hardee's in Gaffney, two blocks from my house, I asked him about all them guys that hung around out there all the time. He said, brother, I've been here for 5 years, and the same guys that were hungry 5 years ago and homeless are still hungry and homeless. I've called the homeless shelter. They come down here. Them guys want to get in there, and they don't want to do right, and they kick them back out. He said, they all have one thing in common, a bunch of dumb Christians is keeping them in liquor. And I was like, do what? He said, yeah, a bunch of dumb Christians. It's like, what do you mean a dumb Christian? What are you talking about? He said, these people are so stupid. They say, I won't buy you no liquor, but I'll buy you a biscuit and hand it to you. It's the will of Jesus, you know. He said, the dumbest people alive. And I'm sitting there thinking, how are they dumb? As soon as you drive off with the biscuit, he walks back in there and says, there's a hair in this. I want a refund. And they get $3 to $5 a clip off every dumb Christian that comes by there. Well, once I give it to them, it's their problem. Correction, you are responsible for that. You're turning up the bottle to your neighbor's lips. You know what you tell them? Nothing. If you quit buying liquor for them, they'll probably straighten up and be sober. Be sober, straighten up, and go get a job. Happens all the time. I see guilty faces all over this room. Well, I don't care what you say, preacher. I know that's why you're in the shape you're in now. You ain't gonna tell me what to do. Stand up and say it right now. You scared because the camera's on. Your mother-in-law is going to see it and tell her daughter to really put the screws on you. That's what you were scared of. But I tell you, truth be to God, I wouldn't give nothing to somebody standing in a line bumming for something. I wouldn't even bring them food. I've learned. When that manager told me that, I thought, I'll never do it again. And then you got a bunch of dumb preachers. Can I say dumb preachers in this room? You know what they do? Somebody calls the church. Let me give my best impression of them, okay? Listen to what I'm doing. Make sure this thing's off and I don't really call somebody. I'd hate to explain that. Yes. Yeah, do you help people with their groceries? Yeah, we got a need for groceries. Yeah, power bill and all that. Okay. Can I just come pick up a check? Will that be all right? On a $700 phone with a $5 pack of cigarettes and they're wanting you to buy them what? Say, I'm mad too. I'm mad that people in the ministry do that and keep people in a mess rather than help them. You know what I did? There's a man in town, he is a mafia guy that I knew from my previous life. He saw me at the gas station one day and he runs a gambling outfit. I know they're illegal, but we have them, okay? I said, brother, can you do me a favor? He said, well, can I have your cell phone number? Oh, yeah, man, for you, I'll do anything. He gave me the number. He said, what are you going to do with it? I said, every time somebody calls me wanting diapers, groceries, and all this other stuff, and you have their money, I'm going to give them to you. I'm going to give your number to them. Oh, my. The guy had a breakdown. He was screaming, chasing me around the gas pumps, wanting his number back and all this stuff. I was a little bit younger and thinner, and I outrun into the car and took off. He called the house and said, you're not really going to do that. I said, I'm ready to do that. Said, you ready to do it? 100 times. That's how many times it took before he finally changed his number. He found out I was serious about that. Why? If he illegally took their money, he needs to give it back. He lives in an 8-bedroom house with 5 bathrooms. I believe he can support a gambling habit here and there since he's in the business of that. After all, it's charity. It's not missions, though. You're paying for sinners to stay like they are and get worse.
Yep.
It'll never work for them, and it'll never be blessed by God for you.
That's right.
So what about the Thanksgiving thing? Oh, well, I don't know. Maybe you'll find a $100 bill under somebody's foot at Cracker Barrel. Maybe somebody will send you a check out of the blue that said God told them to give you that. Had a missionary in our church last week. When they was on deputation, they were poor. God, they were poor. Needed to buy shoes. You were there when the guy said it, wasn't you? Yeah, you were there. He said, need to buy shoes. Got these kids. And they, you know how kids are. They grow like the Hulk. They just keep getting bigger every time you look at them and mad all the time. And he's needing shoes. Here a stranger comes up to him in Goodwill and said, God told me to buy you and your kids shoes. So I don't believe that. That's why you ain't getting none. That's why you helping that bum down at Hardee's to stay a drunk, and then people that call here all the time, you intercepting phone calls from your pastor and you're taking care of them. That's why God ain't blessing you right now.
Yep.
I'm sorry I made that kid mad. I'm really sorry about that. Now the daddy under that, and that's just tough, right? But I noticed that you got the teaching of missions where it's a profession and not just, you got a profession and there's proof behind your profession. If I asked you, do you love Jesus? Everybody raise their hand. What have you done for him lately? If it's everything you thought of, it's wrong. We're just not good people. We're not. We tell people we are. We want to think we are. We're not good people. You know why? The sins that you've had since you've been saved, you wonder why God saved you at all, knowing that would happen later on. Listen to me. Verse 14. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. What's that unspeakable gift? That's a missionary. Somebody God called, somebody God saved and gave them that unspeakable gift that they want to do that for the rest of their life and reach somebody for the Lord you serve. Who does that? The unspeakable gift in them. That's the Lord. I see in this thing that missionaries that pray for churches and churches pray for missionaries, there's two other things that happen, and nobody never really wants to talk about these things. Number one is this. You're praying for them, they're praying for you, and thank God the high priest is praying for both of us.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the Catholic guy? No, he ain't a priest at all. I'm talking about the high priest. I'm talking about the one who labors at the altar in heaven at the right hand of his Father that calls your name out to him. Well, preacher, you don't know. I just feel like my prayers are hitting the ceiling. Try just praying with the Holy Ghost and you by yourself, and he'll reach every one of them. Romans 8:26-27. Jesus said, where two or more gather, I'm in the midst. There's you. There's the Holy Ghost. He's there. Don't ever take, listen, your prayers actually may not be hitting harder than the ceiling. Because we don't know how we ought to pray as we ought. But he does. And if you'll take the time to pray and take your best shot, he'll take the perfect shot while you're taking the best shot. I've known people that spend a lot of time praying, and their life, they just don't look like they're anything to them at all. But boy, they can get down and get a hold to God in a prayer closet somewhere that you don't even know about, and they praying for you to do well.
Yep, that's
right. Did your pastor just mention he give out prayer cards everywhere? Please pray, please pray. Listen, I don't care who you ask to pray with you, but if you spend time in prayer, I know God will use it. There's a lot of people that say, well, I've never really learned how to pray. Don't call on me to pray in public. Well, we called on you to talk about the Miami Dolphins. Boy, you could tell how Dan Marino was there and Don Strzok and the 72 Dolphins being the first hunt. You could tell all that. You know why? You spend time in a manual looking at that stuff.
Yeah.
Spend time in God's manual. Learn some of his statistics and some of his greatest undefeated years.
That's right.
And listen to this. When people come up with this stuff about, well, you know, we just do our best. No, we don't just do our best. We do the worst. If it wasn't for God's Spirit sealing you in a day of redemption, he'd have cast you out a long time ago. But since he's invested all that in you, invest your time in his things and watch God work in your life. He's able to, you know. He's not hindered by anything. Well, he's hindered if you don't believe. He'll walk right around your unbelief and do something. And I'm a zero-point Calvinist. God will walk right around you to get somebody sometimes. But if you will spend time with God, listen to this. God will spend time with you. I read a book the other day. The guy swore that the best time to pray is in the morning. He swore by it. And I got to thinking, the poor guy on third shift, he don't stand a chance. He gets home from work at night, it is morning, he's dog tired. If you live like that, pray when you wake up. Get in touch with God, read your Bible, pray. And if you don't get it all through then, you got plenty of time during the day. You probably only work 8 to 12 hours a day, right? That leaves you about 4 more hours that you can get away from a television, a telephone, or a telegraph, or tell a friend, or whoever else you've been wasting your time with, and spend time with your real only friend. I found out that all my friends I had when I first got saved, all was named Judas, and I just didn't know it at the time. Judas, you know who he is, right? I go to give my testimony to the church. I'm fixing to get baptized. The guy says, can you give your testimony? My best friend comes to me, don't mention me in your testimony. That's why not? He said, well, I've been going to church the whole time. We were doing LSD and cocaine, and he was going to church the whole time. Don't fool me with your self-righteous self. I know somebody's sitting here right now. You are not fooling nobody. Don't mention me, whatever you do. My grandma would have a heart attack. Really? Heart attack? She's probably praying for you right now. All good grandmas do. Say amen, grandma. And then these people come up, well, you just don't mention me. It ain't humility they're worried about, it's pride they're worried about. Hey, listen, God said multiply the exceeding grace of God in you. How does he do that? I'm going to give you these ways, and then I'm going to turn it back over to the pastor if you're okay with me telling this, okay? I haven't seen your cards. I hadn't looked at them, but I wanted one. I raised my hand. Nobody would bring me a card. Shame on you ushers. I don't know if you thought I was kidding or why I wanted to see one, but I don't want one now. Don't hold your card up to me. I don't want one now. That's how I'll give it my church, and I won't give here, okay? But it all goes to the same place. Number one thing, if you're going to get right with God, look back in chapter 8, verse 8. I speak not by commandment, by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Are you sincere with what you're going to do with the Lord? Don't raise your hand. Are you sincere? God, they got quiet again. Y'all are a wicked bunch. You know that? It goes like this. Are you going to be sincere with God? And you go, amen. Let's try it again. Are you going to be sincere with God?
Amen.
Right. Now we're going somewhere. We need one of them signs up here. Say amen right here, you know. Now listen to this. The way you do that, you get along with God, get right by him by, number one, repenting of all known sin and confessing it to him. If we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll get rid of the thing between you and him. Right? Give yourself wholly to God. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, not your spirit, your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And then he turns around and calls that thing a reasonable service. Isn't that something? You turn around and look at this thing even further. You find out from the Lord what he wants you to do for Faith Promise Missions. Now, I've got to see some people saved on this, and here's why. You haven't heard from him, have you? You've been saying to yourself, Lord, if I got any cards or anything, yeah, I got this. Lord, I got this Faith Promise card. What do you want me to put on it? And heaven's silent as brass. You know why? You don't know him. Listen to me again. It's not the sin that you do that I don't do that I think you're lost. That's legalism. Right, Pastor? But if you're not hearing from God, you have a sin on you that nobody else can get away from you. And that's the sin of turning him down for salvation. He He'll never speak to a person like that because they're not his. He'll never tell you what to give faith promise missions while you're lost. I promise you won't. You'll sit there and beg God, and you'll be like them guys over there on the mountain over in 1 Kings 18. You'll be cutting yourself and everything else trying to get a hold of God, and he won't listen to you. God, should I just give a dollar like I want to? Okay, good. God's not in your dollars, friend. He needs to be in you. You're looking outside for the answer, and he's here. Listen to this. You read the Bible over, you'll catch a word showing up ever so often. It's the word if. If so be that Christ is in you. There's a possibility to be in a good church and be lost. And if you get saved tonight, you won't be the first one ever got saved over this very matter. You know why? You've been begging God for an answer, and God's already put the answer. Well, he's wanting to hear an answer from you, and you ain't giving him the answer he wants. He'll never tell you what to give. You know why? You don't belong to him. My daddy goes to my church. And no time in any time have I ever worried about her daddy whipping me if I put my hands on her. Not one time. I don't think I could took her old man on his best day. But when my daddy come to me and said, if you touch her in the wrong way, you will never see it till you get in the hospital. I said, I was 22. Who's going to put me there? I will. Well, you talking about, hey, honey, how you doing? You know, it wasn't her daddy that scared me. It was mine. You got that?
Yeah.
Get that. It wasn't her daddy that scared me. It was my daddy. And listen to this. Why? Because he had done it before. I didn't have a daddy like you. I had a rough daddy. And listen to me. If he told me right now, I'll be there in 10 minutes, don't you go. No, I'd stay right here and wait on him. I don't even know what he's coming for. I just know this. If I'm not there when he gets there, I know what happens. He'd whoop me till the smoke alarm goes off. I'm 71, he's 51, and I wouldn't lay a hand on him. But it won't matter because I tried that before and it didn't work back when I had good health. I just couldn't handle it. Me and my cousin turned 16. We were men. We jumped on daddy. He whipped us both. In a matter of seconds, we didn't even get to fight long. There's two of us. Listen to me. If God is not your father, he's not going to give you faith promise things. He's not going to tell you a number, what to do, what to give. But listen to this. Here's why I know that. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. We got that part, right? Now listen to this. Back years ago, probably August of 1994 to October 94, somewhere around there, I was in church, faithful, doing what I was supposed to do. And there was one thing I hadn't taken care of. I'd been baptized. I was teaching Sunday school, doing all that. But when God called me to preach, I'd been walking 4 months on borrowed time. I didn't realize at the time how serious that thing was. This preacher come in and told us how God beat the stuffings out of him until he surrendered to preach. And I kind of went, good service tonight, you know, went home. I was sitting there on a Sunday morning, and our pastor is a very well-spoken man. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 18, blah, blah, blah. And I never thought about this in the light he told it that day, but he said, hey, some of you here right now, you need two words in your life, and you need to obey those two words. It's not the deeper things of God that you're missing. It's the very simple thing in God you're missing. I thought, boy, he's going to tell him today. He wasn't telling, he's telling me. Here's the words. Now then, do it. Do it. You thought that was original with Nike. They stole it from God, and boy, is he mad about it. Do it. Tell me, missionary, do it. Tell me, church member, do it. You've been waiting to do it. You've been thinking, well, I'll settle it later, I'll do this later. Well, now we're here. I'm fixing to turn the service over to your pastor. He's going to talk about faith promised you again. You've got an opportunity to do everything. But are you going to do what God's already told you to do? You say it seems impossible. Usually the great things are. Well, I'm not really prepared to follow God like that. Most people are not. Well, I just bought a car and a house. I can't move to Zimbabwe. Yeah, you can. Simple. Book the flight. Wear a mask in the airport so you don't get arrested. You say that's a law? No, but disturbing the peace is. When you don't have that thing on, they call that disturbing the peace. Don't ask how I know. I just found out. It's okay. I had a member of my church with me while I was not going to jail. Amen. I don't know nothing of Greenville police. I wasn't about to get involved in all that. Yes, sir. You know. If you will do right by God, God will do right by you. But them two words is what stands in between you and him. That's now then, do it. So what's it? I don't know, but you do. Some of you might be running from God to go to a foreign country or to this country. I don't know. Or God may be doubling the amount you've been trying to budget. You ever been there before? God, I say I can give 10 here. And God says, no, I want 20. But Lord, God says, no, I can take care of it. You're trusting me to hold a planet together that's held together by dirt, water, and fire, and wind. Well, that is true. Because if he didn't hold it together, it would just... So I don't believe it. Get you a mud puddle and try it tonight. Go ahead. Next time a scientist tells you it was created with a big bang, tell him to reproduce that. Just throw something up, blow it up, and watch it fall into place. It don't happen. Well, we're on evolution's timetable. No, we're not. We're far to the other end of that. We're on devolving. Do it. Do it. Pastor, you come.
All right, I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you'll stand, please. And if you need to make your way to this altar and just talk to the Lord a minute, we're going to do the open up here for this invitation. You need to come. While he's playing, I want ushers to come, please. Take all those plates and put them into one. Keep playing, Rick, keep playing. All right. Go ahead, gentlemen. Just make your way through the... Okay. Preacher Carter used to say that the most needed week, which he's talking about missions conference, is the least attended. People don't get too excited about giving money, but it takes money to get the gospel out. Can't do it without it. So just remember this, I hope you've done this by faith. And you said, Lord, I don't have any money, but you do. I'm going to trust you to give whatever he's told you to give. And he'll do it. Brother Little, I thank you for coming. Thank you for the messages we've heard today. And do me this favor. Come by and give him a right hand of fellowship and tell him how much you appreciated being here. And I thank you for coming. Father, I ask you blessings upon the word of God. Lord, thank you for this word we've heard tonight. Bless Brother Little and his wife and his family. God bless his church. Lord, we pray that you'll use the word tonight. Speak to our hearts, Lord, not only tonight, but Lord, may we take what we've heard and live, Lord. Just do it. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to your voice. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed.